Good evening, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Wherever you are, wherever you're listening, it's a pleasure to talk with you once again on another edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And I'm just here to say this, you know, winning a game in the NBA is good, especially when you're without your best players. Winning two in a row is great, but to quote our superstar young point guard, winning three in a row with the roster that we have in place right now, it fills you with so much glee. You hear me? Quoting Ja Morant, I'll try to do that less often, but what I will do frequently is celebrate anytime this Grizzlies team gets three wins in a row, which they now have done. The Grizzlies won their third straight game tonight, a 118-107 victory, an impressive victory where for three quarters, it did not look like it was going to be the Grizzlies' night at all. But then a 38-point explosion, perhaps the best quarter that we've seen the Grizzlies play offensively this year so far, is what made the difference. They outscored the Minnesota Timberwolves by 21, leading to an 11-point victory when they entered the fourth quarter down 10 points. We'll get into all the details that led to the victory tonight here in just a second. Do want to remind you of where you can find the show. You can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. You listen, subscribe, let us know what you feel. We always want to discuss content that is certainly relevant to our listeners' preferences. But I think that what we all prefer tonight is to relish another very, very satisfying victory for this Grizzlies team. But not all of it looked good from the beginning. You know, a couple of different scenarios here that I think that if you would have told fans of both teams before this game, a couple of scenarios entering the fourth that I think if you would have told fans of both teams, you clearly would have thought that the Timberwolves had this game fairly in hand, which they did. For one, you're looking at the three quarters, the fact that the Timberwolves had Karl Anthony Towns, Malik Beasley, and D'Angelo Russell with a combined 65 points. The other is that the Grizzlies combined between Jonas Valanciunas, Dylan Brooks, and Kyle Anderson, there were 21 points. So the main three for the Timberwolves were outscoring the main three for the Grizzlies by 44 points. Also, Dylan and Kyle Anderson for the first three quarters were shooting 1 for 15. If you would have told both Grizzlies fans and Timberwolves fans that stat being true through three quarters of this game, I guarantee you more than 95% of a fan vote would have the Timberwolves winning. And they had a valid point. The Timberwolves were up 90 to 80 after the third quarter. Number one, seeing a team score 90 points on the Grizzlies through three quarters was you know, kind of an eye-opener, you know, in its own right with how good this defense has been playing. But the Timberwolves just were hitting shot after shot. Overall, they shot well tonight. However, a few things did kind of keep the Grizzlies afloat to keep them within striking distance, despite Dylan and Kyle Anderson, though they were contributing through playmaking, rebounding, and other ways. A few other things were contributing. Number one, you had Jonas Valanciunas, who finished with 24 points, 16 rebounds. By all means, probably his best game of the season, he was certainly producing 18 points through three quarters. You also had Xavier Tillman have his career best games, contributing with 12 points, 3 assists, 5 rebounds in and of himself, contributing in a variety of ways on offense, getting good stops on defense. You also had Grayson Allen, who was on his way to 20 points tonight, and not just shooting the three, getting to the lane, playing good defense, really contesting shots. When two of their best three players were not playing well, the Grizzlies had players from their roster step up. But still, despite those good positive developments from the Grizzlies' depth, you still had the Timberwolves' best players, all three playing excellent games. So just to be honest, wasn't a lot of confidence until adjustments were made and the Grizzlies stayed true to their form and really showed out in that fourth quarter. For one thing that was made, I asked Brandon Clark about this after the game, 46 combined points from D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns through the first three quarters, but only 4 points in the fourth quarter for that duo really allowed for the Grizzlies to blow the Timberwolves out in that fourth quarter. And Brandon Clark said, we adjusted to put pressure on D'Angelo Russell. We started to trap him, and every time that they got the ball to Karl Anthony Towns, we made sure that he wasn't going to get an open shot. Obviously, you saw the fact that through limiting Karl Anthony Towns and J'Angelo Russell, I don't have the final numbers in front of me, but with like about a minute and a half to go, Pete Pranica said that the end result was Minnesota going 5-for-22, and that was with Malik Beasley himself scoring 9 points. He wound up with 28 points tonight. He was the only relevant offense for Minnesota in that fourth quarter. But the big thing about it, the thing that really stood out, was just how well the Grizzlies played in the fourth quarter. And the thing about it is this, is that we've started to see that over the last 2 weeks, when the Grizzlies have won their five games, they're now 5-6, which is amazing where you saw their record, you know, just a week ago. But they're now 5-6, and what we've seen is since Ja Morant's gone down and Tim Frazier has been signed, the early fourth quarter offense, when Taylor Jenkins is trying to get the starters some rest, it has been abysmal at times, seeing how much this offense struggles with Tim Frazier running the offense. It's nothing against the options that are out on the court. They're just not able to play up to the level of their opposition. But tonight was a different story. Frazier was in control. The offense was flowing well. Jonas was still able to make some adjustments. Xavier Tillman was able to make his contributions. Brandon Clark, 9 of 15 from the field, 19 total points. He also was there to support. The offense from the beginning of the fourth quarter till the end showed through. The flow, the chemistry, the overall effectiveness was just amazing. Plus, you had Dylan start to remember that he was playing in Minnesota again. And of course, probably the turning point of the game were the two Kyle Anderson pull-up threes within 6 minutes of each other. He stepped up again and being able to add value through his rebounding and assists, but also stepped up in that fourth quarter to be a solid source of scoring. And that's what made the difference. However, the Grizzlies, though they did struggle through three quarters when it came to their sources of scoring, at the end of the day, they stayed true to their form in several ways to earn this victory. Once again, the Grizzlies had 16 more shots than the Timberwolves did tonight. That came through getting more offensive rebounds. It came to forcing more turnovers than Minnesota, getting more points off of turnovers, getting more fast break points. All of those things contributed. But at the end of the day, you saw the Grizzlies able to not only take 16 more shot attempts, but also be able to make 10 of them. On those 16 extra shot attempts, the Grizzlies were 10 of 16. Just a big, big step forward, especially late in the fourth quarter. I can't think of a moment in which our offense did not look on point. And the amazing thing about it is that another big reason why, despite Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks struggling from the field, this Grizzlies team probably left 20 to 22 points on the court because they missed 10 to 12 easy shots. I believe the term for them now are bunnies, but these very easy, very high percentage looks within 5 feet of the basket that just were not falling. The big stat from the night was the Grizzlies setting a franchise record for 80 points in the paint. In the second segment, I'll talk about just how significant and encouraging that is, both from trends leading up to this game and going forward. But the thing about it is this, is that if you watch the highlights of this game, if you watch this game on instant replay, I would really be willing to bet that the majority of people would come away saying, okay, number one, with as many shots as they missed, how did they come away with 80 points in the paint? And number two, they easily could have had 100 points in the paint. That truly is something that was in range tonight when you consider all of the shots that were missed. So that's the big thing that stands out to me. The two big things that stand out to me are that the Grizzlies' depth, when their main trio of players, two-thirds of their main trio of players, struggled for three quarters, another trio of depth came through to keep the Grizzlies afloat, to keep them within striking distance. But in high-leverage situations where the Grizzlies really needed Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks to step up, they stepped up and they delivered. The other thing that stands out is the fact that we're starting to see this offense get more consistent. 8-for-25 from three. I believe that we started 3-for-17 overall. We shot the three good in the fourth quarter, which certainly helped us, you know, grab a commanding lead. But the ability to not only get more consistent through the offensive schemes, but we're now starting to really find a way to play to the strength of our team that's always been there in the paint, leading to 880 points in the paint tonight. Again, we averaged, if you spread that out, that is 20 points in the paint per quarter tonight. Such an amazing floor to work with when it comes to offensive consistency and really a staple statistic for this team going forward. But why is that? Why is this 80 points in the paint so important? For obvious reasons, due to just the sheer amount of points that it is, it's great. But for the Grizzlies and the team that and the way that this roster is constructed, it means more than just tonight. It's a staple. It signifies the improvements this offense has made to this point and just how much confidence we should have going forward in the fact that it should remain more consistent going forward. Coming up, I'll talk about that, how this Grizzlies offense really is finding its consistency to support the elite defense, the defensive level that the Grizzlies are playing at right now. Even in the new year, it's hard to start a new routine. But if you're one of the 34% of Americans who made a resolution to be less stressed, Headspace is here to help. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. And the great thing about it is Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free one month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal being offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA for your free 1 month trial today. The winter is here, and of course, you're probably not driving as many places with it being so cold outside, but unfortunately, even with the new year here, one thing that typically does occur, the less you use your car, the more it's susceptible it could be to issues. And while I'm certainly not someone that can tell you how to repair your car, I can tell you a place to go to find the parts that you need if you need them, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a great place for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's easy to use. With a few clicks of the button, you're easily going to find what you need. And it's more than likely that rockauto.com is going to have what you need, regardless of the make, model, or the part that may come up as needing to be replaced. No matter if you're someone that needs someone else to do the work for you, you do your own car repairs, or you do car repairs for others for a living, rockauto.com is a great place to use because of the fact that it typically is going to be economically friendly. This is a family-owned business. They've been in business for over 20 years. They know car repairs typically fall under budget, so they're going to try to make prices as feasible for you as possible. When you go to rockauto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. 2020 is over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Best with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So in the first segment, we talked about the important factors that stepped up in the Grizzlies' win over the Timberwolves. In this second segment, I'm going to discuss a new factor that is starting to emerge more and more, thankfully, for this Grizzlies team. And then in the next segment, I'm going to give my thoughts on the major, major trade, of course, involving James Harden that happened. Talk about, while the Grizzlies weren't involved, how this trade not only affects the Grizzlies directly, but why it makes me thankful of the team that I cheer for. We'll discuss that in the third segment. But of course, as we mentioned in the first segment, the Grizzlies defense, so this Grizzlies defense certainly has emerged as being, in my opinion right now, arguably a top 10 defense in the league. I know numbers suggest that they arguably could be top 5. But we have to remember that the stretch of games that the Grizzlies defense has really emerged has come against some teams that, you know, it's not hard in all honesty for your defense to look good against. We're talking about the Cavaliers. We're talking about a Nets team that's been without Durant and Kyrie. You know, we're talking about a Hornets team that, you know, while they're doing well, you know, they still are, you know, probably a lottery team this year trying their best to play into the playing game. So just in general, this has been a favorable stretch of games for the Grizzlies defense to really show out. And while it's great that they have, nothing should be taken away from it, you do see that this defense is still susceptible to, you know, having its struggles when it faces good offensive teams. And despite their record, the Minnesota Timberwolves may be 3-7, but in all honesty, in tonight's game, when the starters were on the court, an easy case could be made that the Timberwolves had the best three offensive talents in D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, and Malik Beasley. They scored 78 total combined points tonight and had 65 through three quarters. So the Grizzlies' defense certainly was, you know, tested tonight. And though it did make the adjustments finally that it needed to win the game, you know, this does go to show as the Grizzlies start to play better offenses, their defensive effectiveness is probably just naturally going to decline. Well, if that's the case, we certainly need to see our offensive consistency improve, and that's exactly what it is doing. If you go back and you watch, I have not done it myself, but if you want to see just clear progression for this Grizzlies team in one needed area in such a short time frame, 4 games in 6 days, but when you go back and you look at our Cavaliers loss in Memphis, our last loss in Memphis, and you were to watch the last 4 minutes of that game on offense, and then watch last Friday night's game, watch Monday night's game, and watch tonight's game, it is night and day in terms of the effectiveness of how, of the flow, of the chemistry, of the general, you know, level of play that our offense has improved upon in that short time frame. I'm not saying that we're sitting here and we're going to become one of the league's best offenses. What I am saying, though, is that in some certain areas and aspects of offense, we are among the league's best, and that is allowing for us to gain consistency our offense. You know, I wrote about it in an article that will be out over at Grizzly Bear Blues tomorrow, how the Grizzlies focus. When I've talked and others have talked to the Grizzlies in the post-game media sessions, a consistently frequent phrase that is brought up is turning defense into offense. And that's what this Grizzlies team has done. You know, you've heard me talk about it this week, all the great statistics that are, you know, showing out for the Grizzlies, especially when it comes to them being a disruptive force on the perimeter. Well, what that is allowing for the Grizzlies to do is it's now giving them some type of reliable source for their offense to be able to be based on. And that is through them getting out in the open court and getting shots that are high percentage. When you look over at NBA.com, there is a group of 4 stats that literally say miscellaneous. They are labeled as miscellaneous because they are all 4 different sources of points that don't come from one player or one scheme or one strategy. They come from different events that happen during the game. So they're miscellaneous, which means they're from various forms or from different times. And that is exactly the best way to describe this Grizzlies offense. They are able to find just enough miscellaneous sources of offense to put themselves in a position to be competitive and win. But the thing about it is while these stats may be miscellaneous, so naturally you wouldn't think they would be as reliable as if the Grizzlies had an elite score or if they had elite schemes and strategies, the fact that the Grizzlies are among the league's best in each of these 4 categories is what makes that aspect of the offense reliable. Specifically, what I mean is that for the season before tonight, the Grizzlies were in the top 6 of the league in points off of turnovers, second chance points, points in the paint, and fast break points. You obviously saw the strength of that tonight with 80 points scored by the Grizzlies in the paint. Now, when you think about points in the paint, you think about half-court sets where the ball goes into a post player and they get an easy look at the basket. That certainly is an aspect of it. But points in the paint is just a general overall theme that encompasses so many different ways of scoring. When you get out on the fast break and you get a dunk or you get a lob or you get a layup, that's points in the paint. When you do an alley-oop to a player from a guard, that potentially could be points in the paint, depending on where, you know, the player, you know, started his jump. When you are able to get putback points, offensive rebounds, that's points in the paint. Creating turnovers and getting on the fast break, that in itself is points in the paint. And that has been a strength of this Grizzlies team going back to last year with the style of Taylor Jenkins' play, and that really emerged tonight. So it's not just that the Grizzlies are getting points in the paint, it's that they're doing it four or five different ways during the game based off how disrupted they're being on their defense. Second in the league in deflection, second in turnovers created. This team is one of the best teams in the league at being nightmares for opposing backcourts. And with their rebounding ability as a guard unit as well, the big benefit for the Grizzlies is that a lot of their turnovers and a lot of their stops happen around the opposing team's three-point line. So what that means is that they now are able to get going with multiple good distributors and finishers in the fast break. They're able to get going on the fast break, and they're able to get good shots or good second opportunities before the defense is set. And that's the big key for this offense. Right now, with the options that we have available, we are limited in what we can do in half-court offenses. Though we're getting better, we are still limited what we can do when defenses are set. When the opposing defenses are set and they're able to perform their duties, it makes it tough on us. We saw that through the first three quarters of the game tonight against Minnesota. But if we can get more and more possessions, as we did with 16 extra possessions tonight, 16 extra shot attempts, if we can get extra possessions where we can get to the basket without the defense being set, that plays to the benefit of this offense for the Grizzlies, because it allows for them to have more opportunities for higher percentage shots despite their lack of talent. But the one area where this step does play true to, one area on offense where this step has its strength, is out in the open court. So the reason why the 80 points tonight is not just a one-time fluke thing that's amazing, it set a record, you know, okay, it seemed like it's an outlier type of night. It's not. We're not going to score 80 points in the paint every night. But this team is fully capable of beating their opposition by 15, 20, 25 points in the paint per night. And with as much as we struggle from three, that is so important when it comes to most nights where we're probably not going to score as many points from three as our opposition, or we're probably not going to get as many field goals right now with the roster that we have in place. So the big, big thing from tonight, yes, 80 points in the paint is impressive, but it just goes to show the emerging consistency of this offense and allowing for them not only to use their defense as a way for it to lead into offense, but for them also to consistently get better at finding ways to score baskets without the defense being set. And it's obviously making a big difference with these now three wins, you know, over the past 5 days, and hopefully will be a staple of this team, just like their impressive defense going forward until all stars get back. But speaking of stars, one of the NBA's brightest stars, one of arguably the NBA's best players in league history today, James Harden, was traded finally to end the saga that happened in Houston. Of course, that is a division rival for the Grizzlies, but we'll detail the James Harden trade, but also discuss how it both directly and indirectly impacts the Grizzlies, and from a personal standpoint that I think many folks share, how it makes you appreciate more the situation that the Grizzlies have with their team now into the future. All that coming up here in just a second on Locked On Grizzlies. If you're a big college football fan like me, it's unfortunate that the season is now over. However, we still have the rest of the NFL playoffs coming up in the near future to determine a champion. We obviously have basketball in full swing. NHL hockey started tonight, and the Major League Baseball season is right around the corner, plus tons of other sports sources. No matter what you're a fan of, there's something out there for you to enjoy. Well, I've got the one place that you can go to add to your enjoyment, and the one place that can really allow for you to profit when it comes to any wagers that you are going to make, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. They're going to have lines no matter what the sport, no matter what the game. They will have you covered. Go to betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks expert. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. If you want to get basketball smart, it all starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and super office and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today wherever you get your podcasts. So, obviously, the reason why, you know, I host the Locked On Grizzlies podcast is I love to talk about the Grizzlies, and I'm sure the reason why you tune in is because you love to hear about the Grizzlies and as much content as possible, and obviously, that's why we are here. But there are some times when things, you know, happen around the league that are just so monumental that you have to give a take on it. You have to talk about it. And just in general, for having a passion of the NBA, I also love to really discuss it because of just how amazing and unpredictable this league continues to be. Even when you know something is on the horizon, you know it's going to happen. It just seems like the NBA always results, and when it finally does happen, it being so much more of a production than you thought it would be, even bigger than you thought that it would be. And of course, today we're talking about the last, you know, basically 24 hours with James Harden. Obviously, you know, last night coming out with his comments, just basically saying that he was done in Houston, it couldn't be fixed. And obviously, we now know why, because it seems that that Houston was in the final stages of a trade that today sent James Harden to Brooklyn. But of course, it didn't just involve Brooklyn. To make the deal work, there were actually four teams involved. And while I won't go into detail of analysis from every team, do want to make sure, because of the details, here is the full content of the trade. The Rockets, obviously, the Nets received James Harden. Obviously, that's the big get for them, is to pair Harden, Durant, and Irving together, you know, for a championship run. And the big key for them is to be able to do it for the foreseeable future. It's not just this year. It's likely for hopefully 2 years for them and maybe three or more going forward. But obviously, James Harden going to the Nets. Caris LeVert and a second rounder from the Nets going to Indiana as a part of the deal. Also, Jarrett Allen and Taurean Prince are going to the Cavs. Now, the big reason why those other two teams were involved in the deal is because of the haul that the Rockets got. From the Nets specifically, the Rockets got Rodion Krux. You know the name, he's out there. I'm not the best at pronouncing the foreign names, but Rodion Krux, three Brooklyn first rounders, their 2022nd first rounder, 2024, 2026 first rounder, Milwaukee's 22 first rounder, and four pick swaps for Brooklyn. Now, what that basically means on a pick swap is that if Brooklyn were to have a more advantageous pick in 2021, 2023, 2025, or 2027, if Brooklyn were to have a more advantageous pick in any of those years than Houston, Houston gets to swap with them. So basically, the fate of Brooklyn's first rounders from 2021 through 2027 is determined by Houston, either because they have the pick or they can swap pick positions with Brooklyn. So obviously Brooklyn, you know, traded, you know, their future. As they say, they mortgaged their future, but the reason why was to have multiple years of title runs with Harden, Kawhi, and Kevin Durant. Now, the Rockets also received Victor Oladipo and Dante Exum, as well as, you know, Krux and all those draft picks. And, you know, they did it as extensions of the trade where Indiana got Caris LeVert and where, you know, obviously the Cavs got Jarrett Allen and Taurean Prince. So, you know, from a perspective of, you know, the Grizzlies, first off, I think that all the teams involved in this trade did really well. But from the perspective of the Grizzlies, it obviously means that we've now seen a team that basically controlled this division with San Antonio over the past decade. Don't get me wrong. This Houston team, still with John Wall, now Victor Oladipo, DeMarcus Cousins, obviously Christian Wood, you got a lot of high-risk players involved in there. But if they play together, you've got some talent to where this team still could emerge as a playoff team. But they certainly are not as strong as they were with Harden. So obviously for Houston, obviously they're starting to rebuild. And though they do have a huge haul, they obviously don't have, you know, the stars in place that the Pelicans and the Mavs and the Grizzlies already have. But the big thing for the Grizzlies is that a team that, you know, was always going to be a threat with James Harden, it now no longer has that element. So in terms of the Southwest Division, it certainly has, you know, allowed for a shift in power to where now the Grizzlies, Mavericks, and Pelicans with their bright futures certainly seem to be the strongest team in the Southwest Division. But the other thing is that the great thing about it is that it just makes you realize how lucky we are to have the team that we cheer for. And it's for multiple reasons. You know, and these are reasons that you've heard discussed before, but it's always nice to have these reasons reiterated during moments such as this. For one, you know, we've seen these trades happen, where New Orleans has traded Anthony Davis and they've traded Jrue Holiday over the past few years. They have stars already in place, but they also have pick hauls in place. We've seen the Oklahoma City Thunder just get pick after pick after pick, hoard all these picks. And while, yes, they do have a nice young foundation piece in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, they still have to make those picks work. You obviously now see Houston. Yes, Christian Wood is a very nice piece to start for the future, and they got some decent present pieces. But those picks that they have from the Nets, they've got a hit on them. The thing is that when you start to see all these teams with these, you know, large amounts of picks, you think to yourself, man, these guys really are in some of the best positions in the future. But you and I cheer for a team, and I'm not trying to convince you. You know this. But I just like to say, it's always nice to be iterated. We cheer for a team that already has had multiple years in which we, so far, have hit on our picks with Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant, and Brandon Clark. So seeing these teams land all these pick hoards, it's great for them. It's certainly an advantageous position to be in for the future. But it just reminds you of how awesome it feels to cheer for a team right now that's already hit on multiple draft picks, at least three up to this point, and all three of those players are still under multiple years of control with their rookie contracts, and they're all under the age of 24. But to me, even more importantly than that, is the fact that, yes, while the Grizzlies have not ever had to deal with a star the magnitude of a James Harden or an Anthony Davis or others such as that, they are likely going to get to that point with Ja Morant. He may not be on the level of those players, but he certainly has a superstar-type brand. But as we've seen the Anthony Davis situation and the James Harden situation, you know, occur, we've seen those situations occur because the franchises that they were a part of, and partly because of the type of, you know, not negative, not judging Harden or Anthony Davis, but just of where their mind was as far as where they wanted their career to go, they were no longer in sync, and it led to those players being traded. But you see, when there is the superstars mentality and the franchise are in sync, you do see where it can work out okay. It did work out with Anthony Davis because he signed an extension. Harden was there in Houston for 8 years, so it worked for nearly a decade. And now you've seen, obviously, with Giannis Antetokounmpo that it's worked there. But the reason why these situations all make me very appreciative to cheer for the team that I do, whenever you see these post-game interviews and you see the social interactions and you see these players on the court, one thing that stands out about this Grizzlies team is that they all love basketball. Certainly, there's going to be more talent added. We're going to need to continue to add talent after talent to truly be a title contender. But for the team that's here right now, the reason why they're consistently exceeding expectations is because of how much they love playing with each other and how much they love basketball. And for a team that has arguably two talents like Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant that they've never had before, that is so crucial to start hitting on every move, not only in terms of supporting them on the court, but also developing a culture that can breed excitement, that can develop good chemistry, that can develop a natural love from these players to not only play basketball, but to play basketball with each other. That is the type of development off the court that really, really, really improves the chances that you're going to make this work for an extended period of time. And the fact that Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. have the mindsets and the personalities that they have, it doesn't seem as if the other things that you see from other stars around the league, it doesn't seem like that's going to have to be a worry in the future for Memphis with Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. So it just goes to show how awesome and how lucky we are to have a front office that not only has taken advantage of the picks that it's had and hit on them so far to form one of the most exciting cores in the organization, but how often this front office is continuing to hit on its decisions on and off the court to create a culture to where it really, really builds confidence and really makes sense as to why Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. will want to be here for a long time in the future. And with whatever talents they bring in to hopefully make this team a true contender, because at the end of the day, that's what matters, making this team a contender. The Grizzlies continue to do all that they can and do it the right way to give themselves as much of a chance as possible, not only to be the contender that everybody wants them to be, but also, obviously, to keep their young core in place. Again, talents that they've never truly had before in this franchise, to keep that core in place, to hopefully lead this franchise to unprecedented heights as a sustainable winner, which hopefully in time includes a championship. So obviously, a big day for the NBA, a big night for the Grizzlies with their third straight victory, now 5-6. You could talk about them being tied for 10th in the playoff standings. That is significant, but at the very least, in terms of any of these teams that you see in the playoff race right now in the Western Conference, it's hard to find a team that right now has as much being added to its roster in the near future to really get into, solidly get into the playoff discussion. That's where the Grizzlies are, and hopefully that's where they will stay with their impressive defense and their improving offense. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsAC. You can find the show wherever podcasts are available. Can't thank you enough. I am consistently getting kind words and support, show my way. I cannot thank you enough to all of our loyal listeners for your kindness. Again, the reason why I love doing this, it's a passion of mine, but the biggest passion of mine, that this allows for me to be able to enjoy, on a nightly basis is interacting with you all and others who share those passions for the Grizzlies and the NBA. Thank you very much for the consistent kind words. We always want to make sure that we're delivering content that's enjoyable and informational for you to enjoy. But hope that you have a great night. Go Grizzlies. We'll be back, here soon to preview the second game of this back-to-back series with the Timberwolves, obviously. But until then, have a great night, have a great day tomorrow, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.